basically using a copy of this which doesn't have the true title, so I'm going to call it Indeed It Is True. Indeed it is true. Upon no second do I neglect the compass of my inner direction that has found its currents flow into whatever corner of the universe you complement with your existence. Indeed it is true that what may ostensibly seem to be a form of blind hyper-extolment is in fact a truth. A truth that I must admit joins rank with the small few in its metaphysical family. Indeed it is true that all truth may merely be blowing in the wind, and that I am a charlatan and in no position to be reclaiming truths, but grant me one, just one, and I would choose this truth. Indeed it is true that by way of the very nature of what I'm doing lampoons me in ways I have hitherto only experienced in fiction, but I would suffer many more if you should grant me this one truth. Indeed it is true that you rescued me from the underground and turned a wasted prospect into a reality. Indeed it is true that when I fall hard and loyal, and more often than not, the regret of myself, but indeed it is true that when such an other arrives, one suffers from the realization that a portion of what they are is now this other. But again, indeed it is true that this quintessence, in the case of you as other and I as one, becomes a shared cohort, a fervent area that two others can share as one. Indeed it is true that in the case of you as other and I as one, we merge in intimate generativity. We make love and conversation and converse in love. Indeed it is true that this is another form of communicative expression, a language with a population of two, that the two that occupy the case of you as other and I as one. Indeed it is true that you are I and I am you, together bound in zealous Jew. Indeed it is true that I to you and I you too. These words express but infant's coup.
And now is never now. You know, as everyone knows, I just wrote it down there. Anyway, Cedric is next.
The last time people chose a diamond, so this one would be the heart. Separation of assets. Your chest hides a beating treasure, something not rare, but unique and perishable. This knife you hold is no key, not the right tool to pry it open. You cannot force your way, neither in nor out of that cage. You already took many breaths away. Fortunately, there were even more, and their value dropped quickly. So you may keep them right next to the memories we shared, the vows we exchanged. You could bury them if you dug deep. Just keep me out of that hole to see something grow again. You do. You'd need that. In that field, you'll find eventually, somewhere only you know, beneath the dirt, something perishable but unique and valuable. It will be hidden in the chest. A beating treasure, and only you will have the key. If you want a chance to hand it over again, I beg you, drop that knife.
You got a few moves at the end of that one. We leave you to decide what that means, Cedric. No, next on the list is... well, usually it was a good thing, but Matthew's made us think about it after tonight. Next is Al Vabo. Al, but I think he's actually gone, is he? Al Vabo? Yeah, so in that case, next up is Mikhail Johar.
Julian Tupin. I couldn't track exactly when it was first published, but it was somewhere in early 1920s. And it's called Saturday Night Song. Bless you.
Thank you. So nice that somebody cares. Thank you.
Always. What follows is instrumental expression of the piece. Hooray! The echo will resound throughout the white square. When a sincere drunkard song emanates from my throat tonight, I'll be lapping up Smoky Pop's atmosphere. I'm bloody well going to get sloshed, poisoned, and somewhere afloat. My spirit gorged. I'll hit the table with my strong fist, looking for some brightness from this gloomy days. Take no more use of touch, liver. May the vile twists of my ricketed brats in the garret rot away. I'll drink smash everything inside, but never mind. I'll pay myself. Can I not afford to buy a glass or two? I can, you bastards. With the rubles from my black grinds, I could even have 2,000 mistresses to woo. I smash because I feel like it. Hang it all, freedom, life power, run spirit till dawn. Today we rule. And when I leave the pub with hands in the pockets of my trousers, I'll stagger wide down the drunken street. Nobody's fool.
Left eyes blinking, left eyes winking, left eyes glaring, left eyes staring, left eyes squinting and peering, laughing and crying. He photographed people eyes, dog eyes, cat eyes, cow eyes, sheep eyes, crow eyes. He bought a special microscope lens adapter and photographed spider eyes, always the most lefty of the eight. At first he photographed whole faces and cropped everything out except the left eye. But then he developed the confidence to focus on the eye alone, from all angles, in all shades of light, even in darkness reflecting the moon. When it came to the eyes of the dead, he had no access to battlefields or morgues, so he would steal into funeral homes, approach a solitary corpse laid out in open casket, pin back the eyelid, and snap. Then he went to market and captured the eyes of severed pork heads. He swept along the fish stalls, snapping salmon, shark, tuna, mackerel, monk, and plaice. He processed and printed the negatives on special luminous card, hung them on his ceiling so he would ease himself into sleep, staring at constellations of eyes, left ones.
One would be almost afraid to look at Patrick after that. Just this way, Patrick. Thanks. So next up is our five-word challenge winner, Matthew Moyle.
It's the first two parts of a four-part poem. The reason it's the first two parts is because I haven't written the second two parts. And it's about either being a bundle of energy or being bundled by energy. One, lying in bed, it's time to imagine my own suicide, letting the blood of cognition spray forth. It's contagious. Part two, whether by rope, by pill, by drink, by dive, this pain spreads and spreads like a relentless cancer feeding on our inner light. I close the blinds, wrap myself in a quilt of pity. Radiohead can keep me company now. If I had the courage, or lack thereof, the mouthpiece states, to sharpen that blade, to count how many tablets would end this, my script would fade to black, I hope. For I'm just a man, and I can't comprehend nothing's watercolour.
Thanks, Matthew. God, radio gets such a fucking hard time, don't they? Yeah. Anyone would swear they was depressing as Leonard Cohen, but they're not really. Next up is Michael Wright.
Leonard Cohen isn't as depressing as Leonard Cohen.
That's true. He gets a hard time too.
The gift of water. You know how it is when the room goes quiet for the one who will always be heard, and you pretend to listen. But really, you're humming a stream in your head, watching the wood grain floor roil like water that's changed its mind at the bottom of a weir that is caught in its own froth. And you think about how, before cascading, it must have been a smooth thing, carrying cloud and impressionist trees, and only made sound when it rained.
Thanks, Michael, and my apologies for the bit of banter to me and Patrick when you were starting there. It's totally unacceptable. You can lash me afterwards. Well, maybe not. Seamus Harrington.
Did you ever wonder how fish all turn at the same time in a tiny space, like sardines and a can, you could say, a shoal of fish, a school of fish? Are birds, who takes charge? Who decides? No. So that's what this is about. Briefing at 1800. Now listen up. You'll wait for my signal of semaphore wings. We leave no unturn. Up, upbeat and away. Then wheel down and over the sandy mount sands as we end our sojourn. Recheck your sonar. The first wave of 2000. Remember the drill. A silver blur for the lensmen. Our climb will be steep with no afterburn. Leave the stacks of pool bag. First waypoint to starboard. Now that grounded heron with her excess burden is not your concern. Veer with your wingman, he knows the nocturne, maintaining formation. On course we'll return, watch out for jets, they'd swallow a flock. No foul-ups as the crow flies, in line abreast. I'll be on station on the fly past, directly astern.
Thanks, Seamus. It's a wonder what you wonder about, isn't it? So after Seamus is Patricia Watch.
The beloved candles, witches and flickers, no man or woman can chill the slight, irrespective of company. It fights its corners, not easily snuffed, life being so expensive, illuminating strips with a warmer eye. Meat and cheese are a consolation, from ins and outs of company, unnerved. Alcohol fueled production marked its way, irrespective of time and pride, a private odyssey, fully squared circles of light on the seats. Nondescript pairings illuminate walls, broken depictions that inexcuse to be savvy, associated explanations going nowhere, surreal at best, sinking, going somewhere. The fire burns its own secrets, comforting others, a slow gouge reveals a competent seer. A weather going retrograde, not fun anymore, machine made cold a probable salvation, a warranted literature siding in the corner. The lights remain flickering, good, ill, or otherwise. Complicated words not hitting the spot. Model answers denied to the co-workers. Commonly shouting from the candle grease. Perennial burning, now a total war. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. I like the idea that we're sinking but going somewhere. Charles Clark.
The only person present who bought the book. Book being. Simon Lewis's Jewtown is about, and it has great documentary interest, is about the Jewish community in Cork from its first arrival, well, it was 1890, to. Quite recent times when the synagogue was closed, and it is of great interest. I wondered also, however, whether, although it had won a number of prizes, whether it actually was, you know, what its poetic value actually was. There, however, I came across this poem, which I propose to read. Tashlik. Tashlik is a ceremony where Jewish people cast away their sins in a body of water. And the word shtetl appears, which everybody knows anything about Jews at all knows it's a village or whatever in Lithuania. Tashlik. I toss breadcrumbs in the river and pray to God for forgiveness for the food I stole from the houses in empty shtetls that lies to the soldiers at every checkpoint on the way to the harbour at Riga, and the evenings where I could hardly breathe, questioning my fate, broken by the day. This year, I thank God for a mattress on a dirt floor, a small knob of butter melted in mashed potato, to be able to walk without looking back behind me.
Thank you, Charles. That was lovely. And next up is Africa Iglesias.
So imagine medieval towers and a cat that's disturbing the neighbours. This is called Familiar. The cat and its owner. This Dom Perle, who is he really? In spite of the cassock and sermons, He's put it about that he's an apothecary. My own mother came home with blue cohosh. Look, there's his cat. Have you observed how they walk through the city uncannily close, as though figure and shadow, or rich and familiar? Madame Flotte, who lost her 10th baby, she visited him. There is proof he's a sorcerer. That firecracker cat, his eyes blazing curses. Let's burn it. A death fit for a diabolist intimate. Remember Jeanne d'Arc, whose charred bones were disposed of in this very river? Better still, let's drown it. That's easier. For our neighbours, a favour, n'est-ce pas? Look how the feline curves its ears backward, spooning sound from behind it. Is it listening? What's more, there's something infernal in the way each scoop of its paw hooks a shad from the river. Let's approach slowly, but beware of those claws. It's a war cat when cornered. I tried, once before, set fire to its tail, but the monster leapt 20 feet high, then dived into the Seine. I swear it was witchery. We all know cats hate to swim, but I'm telling you, it weaved like an eel. We must hold the sack down until it stops moving. Hey, don't look at me. Aren't you following?
Thanks, Afric. I'll just get myself back in the room after that transportation. And next up is Philip.
Thank you. So, like, I'm trying to write horror poetry. I'll give it a try. Yeah. And I ended up a bit like a horror short story. And literally, like, I was walking down into Paul's Street, and I saw, like, a shadow. And I was convinced for a while that shadow had no caster. So that kind of gave the inspiration for this. Imagine a shadow that had no caster, like the shadow was just an individual. And it's what I came out with. And I'm going to read part one tonight, and I'm going to read part two probably next week. See if you like it. One. It was a dry, damp, transparent spot, hooded on the street, and passers-by stepped on her in blind normality. However, it was my curiosity that noticed its oddity, that it was a singularity. As this shadow had no caster, no static structure stepping at its brim, or any overhead obstacle for light that would blotch that point of the street. I walked around and assessed my own companion shadow, how it exaggerated my limbs, frowning, where is your caster? And of course the single shadow did not reply. However, my imagination simulated a query, which in fact the shadow remained quite stagnated. In what I answered, no, I already have a shadow, and you can't take two. Your shadow is always an individual. Even if I had in mind that sometimes two shadows can mimic the object from two separate light origins. But I trusted that my imagined anthropomorphic shadow would never consider that. Mm-hmm.
Philip, and your next edition of horror poetry will be here in the Old Vale upstairs in the Hayloft next Monday night at 23:30 hours approximately. Please book a seat. Benjamin Burns is next.
I finished college today. I'm going to read this poem in celebration. Isn't it funny to think that your daddy was once a little babby who cried, burped, and dribbled, and couldn't even crawl. Isn't it a tickle to think your mummy was so little that her fingers were the size of your baby toes that she couldn't even sit up and had to wear a nappy? Maybe you have two mummies, maybe you have two daddies, or one of them, or three of them, or neither. Or a granny, or a granddad, or an auntie, or an uncle, or a cousin, or a nanny, or a minder. No matter who you have, isn't it absurd to imagine all the grown-ups being little boys and girls? Isn't it wild to think your teacher was once a child who sat listening to their teacher, who was also once a child, who also had a teacher, who was once a child, who had a teacher, etc.? Isn't it a cackle to think you were an apple squished inside the twinkle of an eye? This was before you were born, of course, before you knew what it means to be an apple or a horse. Maybe you really were an apple. Maybe you were a fish. Maybe you were Brussels sprouts, half a carrot or an onion. Maybe you were a moldy crust or a bin to put the rubbish in. Maybe you were mud stuck to the sole of a shoe. Maybe you were a puddle to run and jump and splash through. Maybe you were snot slipping free of someone's nose, a someone who's been dead since before they had a nose, and who could now be anything, anything goes. You are earth, you are clouds, you are grass, you are stars, you are definitely an alien from Mars. You are a heron, a duck, a pig, a curtain, you're definitely a curtain, of that much I'm certain. You probably used to be Wee and Pooh, or is it that Wee and Pooh used to be you? Both of them can make children very, very sick if they don't wash their hands after going to the toilet. What are you really, a child or a goose? Are you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? Or are you a number even higher than 12? Are you 7 billion, 4 million, 6,021 and a half? Or are you the water you swallowed by accident in the bath? Did you know that we're made mostly of water? What a laugh. Can you remember exactly what happened this time last year? Last month? Last week? What did you think before you could speak? Be anything you like, there's nothing else to be. Be the top of a mountain, be the roots of a tree. If you accidentally grow up, don't forget to be free.
Magic, just magic. What are you really, a child or a goose, huh? John Bayliss Post is next.
Matthew's comment on the English collective reminded me a bit of something Bob Hope, the comedian, once said, which is that he liked English audiences because they didn't think he was funny, but they nodded to show they'd understood. this poem is called Duende. Duende has a literal meaning of a particular type of Spanish dance, but it also has a metaphorical meaning of a sort of intellectual frenzy of despair. Duende. Heels and eternities rattle into the twilight. The skirt hems of lost hopes flicker against the fire. Heat and sangria whirl sharp minds outside thought. Glistening skin slips from the demon's veil. This is all this frenzy, endless and dead. The mad beach shuffle, bare feet drumming on a board to the slow roar of breakers over the dance floor sand. This is all the sensual grit and glare and strum, the carnal oblivious trance of the Black Widow's mate. The ghost dissipates, drifted by the onshore breeze, every warm waft, every grain felt for the last time. Broken and immense, the driftwood trees writhe inert in bark-stripped, bleach-grained spasm, and beyond, an unwatched death dances on the grey shore, alone.
Thanks, John. when you finish that, I would. I'm embarrassed, Ogun. No. Go on and book a therapy session. Marcel Cronin is next.
So, at this poem, needed time to read. And it was written almost 19 years before, and it was written first in German. I would like to read the German version first when I got out. And then the English version? Yeah. Okay. The first line was inspired by the foreword of the Brother Grimm. They described that first when a child is born, it is born with a smile. And when it smiles in sleep, the angels talking to this girl. And this poem was written for a girl who's sitting there 19 years before, almost 19 years before, and this is a poem of the time to read it now aloud for you, Esther. Okay. German version first. Ins Licht der Welt, für Esther Lea. Ich sah über uns die Engel reden, wovon wir nichts ahnten als unsere Gegenwart und himmlisch unbefangen taten ein Gleichnis, du und ich der Liebe geben. Und in der Tat lag wohl der Anfang, in Befängnis zu geraten, dass wir der Schöpfung vorenthielten, Recht und Auftrag sich zu nehmen. Denn wo Gott das Labyrinth verlässt, da gehen wir aus uns selbst hervor und wundern, wie es nur die Schöpfer tun, ins Licht ein Größeres zu setzen. Und dieses fühlt, wie wir, die Welt zu seinen Füßen und blickt und staunt, die Menschheit zu begrüßen. And now you will get the English version. Into the light of the world, to Esther. Above, I saw angels talking about us, which we didn't know except by our existence. And like a parable on this theme, we made love, you and I. And in doing so already lay an increase of complexity that creation might be shaped to ride the flow of destiny. For where God leave his labyrinth, there we emerge from ourself and wonder as only creators can do at bringing into the light a greater one. And this one feels the world at its feet like us and looks and is amazed to great humanity.
Thank you, Marcel. Did I get that right? Is that the first time you've ever read that in public?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. That would be really appreciated. Next up is Max Green.
I got a bit excited. I had to remember, as I just followed a piece of writing. And it was about the impact and narcissist and everybody. I think we're all impacts and intuitive. And then there's the living narcissists and everybody as well that drives the whole thing. So there's no categorization. So this is for a guy who's seen this amazing, surreal, fantastic soundtracks, and he was getting into improv with them, and I was improvising, and we were cooking great, and then he disappeared into the ether. So this was my last improv, his last track, but he never got. So it's let me sing it badly, please. So empathic narcissists are narcissistic empaths. Empathic narcissists are narcissistic empaths. There's a crowd inside you. Are there people in your head? Little bittersweet words unspoken, little fallacies unsaid. Why would I ever banish you to your wilderness of blue? Except I shouldn't worry you with so many different kinds of you. Fake guy. How many different kinds of fool am I? Fake man. The fleeting dreams of sweet that we could never have. Fake man. Couldn't be part of your... hiding galleries of different eyes. Fake man. Can't be part of your plan no more. Is there a crowd inside you? Are there people in your head? Words are left unspoken, little fallacies unsaid. Why would I ever banish you to your wilderness of blue? Cause
never should have bothered. There's so many different kinds of you. Sorry about that Fisher song.
I'm going to swiftly move on to the next person on the open mic because there's an awful lot of that sounded like it was written about me. Now you hear it.
This isn't a poem. It's I suppose I'd call it a blunt, barbaric bollock of a ballad. And I wish I could sing it and play guitar and do a bluesy thing with my organ in between the stanzas, but I can't. It's called Empire 2, a new modest proposal. Acknowledgements to Jonathan Swift, the first modest proposal back in the 18th century. Privatization is the name of the game. We need to get rid of the poor and the lame. Like our boss Aaron, another lame duck, and those who need it can just go to fuck. Look at private transport across the pond, magic efficiencies at the wave of a wand. Fares gone through the roof is a pity, but this is capitalism and the alternative is shitty. Water's the new oil, buy shares when you can. Forget that rubbish, the brotherhood of man. Invest in corporate water, you'll be a millionaire. And those in high office realize that's fair. All those inefficiencies and question marks galore, Irish water, the guards, health service and more. The public will see it's in their interest now to accept privatization without a row. So, privatized prisons like in the USA, and private policing, drones and guns, okay. The final steps that's needed is to openly buy those who make the laws. Let's not be shy. As for climate change, the solution is clear. It doesn't exist, no more spreading fear. Corporate rule the only way for the planet. The empire knew that when they ran it.
Thanks, now. Please, please write a poem that's got the title Blunt, Barbaric, Bollocks of a Ballad. Somebody fucking write it. Right, but we're near the end, two to go. Is penultimate the correct word? Is it? Penultimate person on the open mic tonight is Joe Johnston.
This is for Marcel. We've spent the last year almost having conversations between Cork and Berlin. And he's been learning English, and this was to explain the meaning of proximity. So that's the title. And it's proximity, 1,128 miles. So here, there, here. Here the words between, the breaths of which span distance. Long-range exchanges, traversing the proximity of us, and the closeness that we've been afforded reaches through the gap to find no distance after all.
Thanks, Joe. I'm not sure how that relationship works, but it's a long distance one. It seems to have done pretty well with that piece anyway. But he can't even wait for me to call his name. But the last one up in the open mic, he said to me earlier on, I have to be last. And then he's just parading himself up. Can I say your name before you drop, please? Mr. John McNabb.
Don't worry about that.
What are you about?
A participating song. And I think poetry brings people together. So I like to think when I read poems in England, the collective means I've succeeded. Right. It's the end of the Harbour Festival. So the reason I asked to be last, I'm not very picky usually. You haven't seen me 2 years either.
Not that long.
Well, at least. It's because you're all going to participate, right? You're all going to sing the shanty. Now, there's a lot of economic terms that take sea terms. We're all in the same boat. All boats rise on a rising tide, right? But we're all down at the gunnery deck taking the hits while the captain gets the gold, right? So this is an old sea shanty. Does anybody know the roll the old chariot along? No? Are there any singers here?
No.
Well, it doesn't matter, right? Because when I say row,
there's no florist either.
There's a half a florist. He's been pruned back, but he's going to blossom soon, right? When I hold my hand up, I want to hear low voices, so you can go roll. You can hold it on, right? When I hold my hand down, you can go for a high. I'm doing it backwards for a reason, right? And then when I hold both hands up, I'm going to go quiet one, and then we'll. When we raise our hands up, I want you to hear them south mal. I want them to hear you in Dublin, right? So will we try a chorus first, will you? Right? So we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, cause we're holding up those bastards. We vote for inherited parties cause they're all the fucking same. We vote for inherited parties cause they're all the fucking same. But if you fix the roads, all the fucking same, cause we're holding up those bastards, and we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, cause we're holding up those bastards. If you're young, you'll never afford a fucking house. If you're young, you'll never afford a fucking house. And if you are renting, you'll be out in your arse, cause you're holding up those bastards. And we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, cause you're holding up those bastards. Oh, you'll never get heaven if you've lost faith in the church. You'll never get to heaven if you've lost faith in the church. And you've probably lost faith because that's where you were touched, because you're holding up those bastards. And we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, because we're holding up those bastards. If you're a kid in Ireland, you'll be rightly fucked. If you're a kid in Ireland, you'll be rightly fucked, cause they're after us fraud or abuse, the guards will cover it up, cause they're holding up those bastards. And we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, cause we're holding up those bastards. Oh, if you're not from Dublin, they won't send you any work. If you're not from Dublin, they won't send you any work. But we all know the real capital is Cork, cause we're holding up those bastards. And we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, cause we're holding up those bastards. Economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, cause we're holding up those bastards. And we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll the old economy along, cause we're holding up those bastards. And we'll roll the old economy along, we'll roll.
You're back for a while, or?
For one night only.
Okay, so that's John McNally bringing the 513th Ovale to a close. I'd like to thank you all for being here. And just before we go, and so as I don't have to book a therapy session, I'm going to insist on another round of applause for our guest poet tonight, Matthew.